I know you're also a build-up guy. Can you please say the title so they know what game we're talking about?
We'll get there. Like
We'll get there.
Stop following.
Half our audience just quits the podcast.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 1 year playing at least 52 games, and then we talk about them. This is Dustin. No, my name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
This is Nolan.
Oh.
Your name is... And this is our 2018 Christmas cast.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Hark of the bells, sweet seven bells, all that I say. Christmas is here.
That's the only like line that you can hear.
I needed Kenny to go.
Oh, I was deciding dong, which song I was going to go into. No, you right. can't ding dong because Nolan did right. a different song.
Okay, then what's your song? Quick.
The holly and the ivy.
You would do a song from 1238 BC. Uh-huh. This is our annual episode where instead of talking about a single retro video game, we do a general retrospective of gaming in the current year. And so for this episode, we're going to look back on the year 2018, and we're going to talk about some of the big video games that were released this year. We're going to share our thoughts on some of the major gaming events that transpired in the past year. And then we're going to conclude with a little look past the year in NGP history, as well as kind of a glimpse into the future as we set some goals, resolutions for 2019. And just from the start, we'll say it at the beginning, we'll say it at the end, we'll say it throughout. This episode is all for you, our listeners, for those of you that have been with us this year, that have made it possible. We probably wouldn't still be doing this if it was only for us three.
Yeah,
but
very true.
We know that there are not. Other people that listen. Probably not. Kenny, you would go 162 episodes deep with just us, no one listening?
I would. I would. Let me second the sentiment that you just shared, Dustin, because you're second right. If you're not listening to our podcast right now, well, then this is not for you.
Is he just, I mean,
he's trying to be funny.
Right. Because I'm not going to get into the details here because he's kind of ruining Christmas a little bit, but
it's not the first Christmas I've ruined.
It's an annual thing. For
it's
you.
It's a tradition.
Last year, speaking of tradition, we did a Christmas movie quote competition.
Which I won.
I fondly remember our Christmas
Kenny
Christmas
won,
movie
actually.
Won
it came
no,
down
you
to the
did
final
not,
one.
Nolan.
Nolan, you couldn't get the question, and it was sweet justice because the final question, like the final movie, was the starting movie that Kenny missed.
I remember
it's a
winning
Wonderful
that
Life.
One, yeah.
But here's the thing. That competition wasn't good for Kenny's heart. And
it was not.
You can't and really do competition well, Kenny.
I do competition too well is the problem.
Oh my gosh. you're
competitive?
I do. The problem is I'm now a year older and that much frailer of heart.
Right.
And so I don't think we ought to throw down again because I might
gout,
not survive.
He's so Nolan, you can't really get your revenge this year, but that's not the spirit of Christmas anyways.
I won. And
instead of a competition,
I
thought that we could work together to find out what truly is the best Christmas movie of all time.
Oh,
and
yeah, I'm down.
We're going to do this tournament style. So I don't know if there's a proper title for this. I'm sure it is. We're going to start with two classic Christmas movies. And both of you are going to submit your vote on which one is better.
Ooh.
And if you disagree, you'll kind of give your stance of why you're correct and the other is wrong.
Okay.
And if needed, I'll serve as the tiebreaker.
Okay. You're cool. Our impartial, but of course, completely partial judge.
Yes. And obviously, majority wins. The winner of that of those two, we'll move on to the next round and we'll go against a different title.
Nice.
And we'll do the same thing, rinse and repeat until we're left at the very end with one final Christmas movie.
And then we'll do a loser's bracket.
No, like we just spend the next Robin. Week going through.
What we'll do is we'll start a podcast where once a week we watch an old Christmas movie and then we talk about it.
I mean,
I've got around a dozen movies. I didn't include all of the Christmas movies. I tried to go through a few different lists and grab some of the best, the most acclaimed. Okay, cool. So if we don't say your specific movie, you can gripe at the end. But here we go. We're beginning with two titles. I wanted to get two up front, two strong ones. We're going to start with It's a Wonderful Life versus Scrooged. And let me just say why I entered Scrooged. We needed a Christmas Carol movie. When I looked, there are dozens of Christmas Carol
movies.
And
that's the one you chose?
That is the one that my wife chose.
Bill Murray?
No. Listen, if you get to choose one of your own free will and you choose Scrooged over A Muppet Christmas Carol,
listen,
you're just not doing it right.
Bill Murray, two movies is that what we're talking about?
The two movies are It's a Wonderful Life and, yes, Bill Murray's Scrooged.
Okay.
Those are the two movies. Nolan, which one are you going with?
Scrooged, because I never watch It's a Wonderful Life.
But every year a bell rings, an
angel dies. I know, but yeah. I don't watch that movie ever. So just by like views, I think Scrooged.
Okay, Scrooged. Kenny, you don't have to just be the devil's advocate. You can go with
him. Oh, no, if you know I agree with him, I totally agree with him, but I don't even slightly agree with him. It's a Wonderful Life
we're
is
gonna start off like
significantly
this.
More popular.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Way more meaningful. It's not one movie that tells a story that's been retold 42 different times in 42 different ways.
You convinced
me. It's
a Wonderful
Life. Uplifting.
You convinced Nolan.
It's
I didn't even have to jump in.
Okay, fair.
All right. Sure. No, fair. That was a good. That was a
yeah,
good.
Yeah, you
stance.
Made a good case.
Yeah. So It's a Wonderful Life moves on. Scrooged is immediately out of the running. So It's a Wonderful Life versus A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh.
Kenny, we'll start with
Wait,
you.
So it's going to keep going the whole way? Isn't that
it's
a huge
to
advantage to the movies at the end?
It's up to you. A Charlie Brown Christmas versus It's a Wonderful Life. Kenny?
I mean, I'm going to still go with It's a Wonderful Life.
Why would you put It's a Wonderful Life over Charlie Brown Christmas?
Because, I don't know, nobody actually cares about Charlie Brown and animation that's old is gross.
Nolan.
First of all, I don't watch It's a Wonderful Life. And so, Charlie Brown Christmas Dog has the classic tunes, like all the good songs, and it's...
Wait. The dog, like Snoopy?
Tunes. Songs.
Did he say Charlie Brown Christmas Dog?
No, oh. Songs. He said songs. And then okay. He said tunes.
I got bad hearing. Sorry.
I'll get you some hearing aids for Christmas.
Thank you.
Charlie Brown Christmas, yeah.
I'm going to agree. It's a Charlie Brown Christmas. Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life. Great classic, right? But Charlie Brown Christmas, beautifully animated. There's something so nostalgic about it. That Christmas tree, just everything about it. It's wonderful.
Nah.
No, It's a Wonderful Life with Charlie Brown Christmas. So we're going to go with Charlie Brown Christmas and Miracle on 34th Street. Another Christmas classic. A Charlie Brown Christmas and Miracle on 34th Street. Nolan?
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Kenny.
I like movies that get you in the feels. And that one goes for the feels.
Which version, though? The Matilda one?
It's old and Santa's overrated.
Wait, Santa as a person?
Yeah.
You can't say that on a Christmas cast, moron.
I sure can. yep. And so I'm going to go Charlie Brown Christmas on this one.
Santa's right. Overrated?
A Charlie Brown Christmas moves forward to the next round or whatever. A Charlie Brown Christmas versus National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Come on, Kenny.
Kenny, we'll
Give
start
it to
with
me.
Here's
you.
The deal. Even I'm not that old. Nah. I get it, but nah, Charlie Brown.
What are you saying? I didn't know what you said until you said Charlie Brown.
You acted like we were all on board with you. No.
Yeah, that's how much that movie makes sense, and that's how much I care about it.
Christmas Vacation times a million.
times a million.
Like,
well, then not then it,
it's hilarious. It is actually
we get to
so
just multiply
funny.
Things times numbers. It's a Wonderful Life times 42 and a half
that
trillion.
One's out of the running, homie.
Oh,
so right now it's a Charlie Brown Christmas versus National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Nolan went with a strong Christmas Vacation. Kenny went with a strong Charlie Brown Christmas. And the tiebreaker is going to go to the one that I deem better, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, y'all are both full of...
Good call.
A Charlie Brown Christmas versus the Santa Claus. Yes, that's right. That is Tim Allen perpetually turning into a jolly fat man with a beard. The Santa Claus versus Charlie Brown Christmas, Nolan.
Christmas Vacation.
That one has lost already.
The Santa Claus, easy.
The Santa Claus, easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kenny, do you agree?
The thing is, Santa Claus is overrated. However, Tim Allen cannot be overrated.
Home improvement.
He's exactly rated, neither over nor under. And so the Santa Claus.
I love Thank that you. The Santa Claus has made it specifically because he made our 2018 better. Did he not?
Santa Claus or Tim Allen?
Tim Allen.
Santa Claus is overrated, Kenny.
Well, yeah, I know.
Then we've got the Santa Claus versus How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Which one, the animated
one? You don't
one?
Even have to ask, okay. Because 1967, the animated is the only one that actually matters.
That's not true. It's good. But the Jim Carrey one is great, too.
Jim Carrey one's all right.
Didn't they Santa just Claus. Release a new Grinch movie that's supposed to be pretty good, too?
Yes, they did, and
I've
I want to see
ads.
It.
I haven't seen it, but the one person
Man,
I talked to
y'all
about
are
it that watched
really
it
wrong about
said
Christmas
it was good.
Movies. The Santa Claus.
Oh, easy. Okay, Kenny.
This one's actually harder for me. I'm gonna still go Santa Claus.
Thank you.
Still go Santa Claus. So both of you, okay, all right. The Grinch has gone away and taken Christmas with him. The Santa Claus versus Home Alone.
Oh, Home Alone.
Why are you laughing? Because
that's the
easy?
Easiest thing I've ever
I
heard.
I agree.
Go ahead, Kenny.
I agree.
Yeah,
y'all are
Home
the
Alone,
one that got
hands
it there.
Down, times a billion.
Hands down, Home Alone.
Hands down, that's
Kevin
a triple.
Kevin McAllister.
Triple threat trio, Home Alone. Home Alone versus everyone's favorite Elf.
Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Get out with Elf,
Kenny,
man.
Don't it's even pause. Elf. Well, I'm glad that people love Elf. The
sure.
Elf, there's nothing wrong with
sure.
it, but everybody's uber love for it has caused me
Dude,
to uber never want to watch
everyone's
it.
Like, it's
popular
the
lately to hate on Elf, and I don't know why. I still think it holds up, and it's fun, but it did get burnt out pretty bad.
I think it's a fine movie, and I like it. But no, Dustin's right. Everyone's like, it's the best Christmas movie. You have to watch it. I'm like, that movie came out like a decade ago. It's not that
this
important.
Is the final round, so choose wisely. I love what it's going to come down to, and I hate that I'm probably going to have to break this. Home Alone versus A Christmas Story.
I thought you were going to have Home Alone 2 on there.
No!
Look, this is mega easy. I like Kenny Go.
I know
oh, no, it's made it easy for me, too. Like, it's Home Alone.
It's Home Alone,
oh.
dog.
Oh, really, kid?
It's
really
Home
not.
Alone.
I'm so proud of you, because I know you
well,
love
you
A Christmas Story.
I love A Christmas Story, and you don't, which is
don't.
Unique. But it's Home Alone. Home Alone is the best Christmas movie. Maybe Home Alone 2 is even better.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. It's so good.
I like the first one better than the second one. But
that's fair.
Yeah, they're classic. And, like... They're right in that sweet spot era of us and growing up. And
yeah.
there's a reason we do retro games from kind of that era, because that's who we are. And it's not a surprise to me at all that that Home Alone took it for us.
Harry,
the transition. Though
I'm
I do
coming
take,
in.
I do take beef generally with the tournament format. It wasn't super fair. For your early contenders, it's just hard to last all
Get
the way.
Out.
You gonna let him talk
Go.
To you like that?
I'm just
Go
saying.
Go do something else. You play in the game next year. We selected as the greatest Christmas movie, according to New Game Plus 2018, is Home Alone.
I'm happy with that. I'm happy.
New Christmas Plus certified.
I don't want you to do that. you gave us a good segue into video games, Kenny, there, and I tried to take it, and y'all just kept talking. Nolan started quoting Home Alone, the Home Alone movie.
I'll keep going, too, if you're not
able. Last question. Old video games versus Christmas. No.
No, please. Okay, guys, it is time to do what we came here to do and to talk about gaming in 2018.
So before we jump in and do a little bit of retrospective, let me just put our normal disclaimer on this show. We like to talk about old video games, and this is one of our somewhat frequent excuses we give ourselves to break out of that and look at some more recent gaming. So if that's not your cup of tea, I apologize. And two, we are here. Yeah, I'll go with it. And dose, we are here for your entertainment. And these are very much opinion-based reflections based on our limited interactions and experiences and memories with these games. And so we're not experts. If we disagree with you, get over it. But hopefully listening to us talk about what we think might be enjoyable.
And do remember, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is to talk about gaming all throughout the year.
Has this toothbrush been approved by the American Dental Association?
We're not going to just do movie quotes. Nolan, take us in to one of the key releases of 2018.
The only release? No, I'm kidding. No! This has been a crazy year, as we'll talk about, but I wanted to talk about Mega Man 11 first off, because I was anticipating it. Mega Man 11 is one of the like classic style Mega Mans, I guess you could call it, instead of the spin-offs, 3D Mega Man X series. It's like Mega Man 10 came out like in 2010, I think. So it's been a while since we've had a classic Mega Man. And
almost 8 years.
Yeah, which is a long time, but they
it's a long time.
Reskinned it, and I mean, the mechanics are still core Mega Man, but I play through the whole thing. If you want to watch it, it's on YouTube. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It delivered.
It came out on a few different systems, but Switch is where you need to play it and where you played it, right?
I got it on Switch because I figured, one, well, I wanted the Mega Man amiibo for pre-ordering it, and two, I figured it would be a good on-the-go platformer. So, yeah.
True or false, Nolan? You own more than 3 amiibos.
That's false, actually. Okay. I own 1 amiibo.
True or false, we are the 3 amigos.
You're what the French call laissez compétent.
You've got all the quotes.
I loved it. Yeah, what?
True or false, you may have raged while playing this game.
Oh, I rage playing every game. Of course I raged. It's on the internet. You can go see the proof.
This game made you frustrated a lot. It's to the hard. Point of where I know at various times you were kind of frustrated with the mechanics. You didn't like some of the things. What was your kind of final say on the game? You completed it really in probably like 4 or 5 sittings.
Yeah.
So it didn't take you too terribly impressive. Long. Yeah. Well, no one's naturally good at these games. Well, I guess it's just at that, you know, but no one's naturally good at these games, but it still presented a challenge. But in true Mega Man fashion, classic Mega Man fashion, at the end of it, was the rage worth it? Did you enjoy playing Mega Man 11?
Of course. It was rage inducing, but what Mega Man game isn't? It was on the lighter side of things when I, like, in hindsight, it was just the experience of like playing a new game and not knowing what to do. I was salty about the slowdown mechanic and the power-up mechanic, but I'm on board with it. You got to embrace it in order to, one, really enjoy the game, and two, have an easier time. So I'm okay with them. I was just overreacting. I do that. And I would definitely recommend the game. It's so fun.
I love that on a lot of these games that they're going back and re-releasing on Switch, not re-releasing, new games, but that they've been so faithful to kind of origins of the game and the feel of them. You know, Mega Man 11 is totally that. Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze is totally that. Yep. It's just nice to see them putting these good looking modern mechanics and feels on really classic games. It's neat.
And Metacritic, and of course it came out on PS4, Xbox One as well, but it got right around an 80 for its score, which isn't bad. Nice. And in fact, 80 is good. Some of the comments were like, it's not revolutionary, but it feels like a classic Mega Man game. And that's exactly what they were going for.
Don't talk to me.
But do you think that it's a good like foundation for the next set of games? If they continue to create it with this style, with this kind of thought, do you think it's a good foundation for just really a new reskinning and face for the Mega Man classic series?
I do. I did a secret episode on our Patreon if you want to go listen, if you have access to that. I talked about that. It's a great shift. So Mega Man 10 looks like Mega Man 6, 4, 3. Like they've had the same skin, 8-bit. This is clearly new, but they had to do it at some point. And I believe what I said in the episode was they nailed it for as far as like, let's re-skin, quote-unquote, Mega Man. I'm on board with it. I love it.
Another key release for the year 2018 is a little game in a little series called Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Never heard of it.
So, like Mega Man 11, they both had an October release, which is really not long ago. Mega Man 11 feels like it came out a lot longer, but you got it like day one, right?
It's in October, yeah.
And Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it, of course, is in the Assassin's Creed series, created by Ubisoft, and is the 11th major installment in the series, but it's the second in this kind of new reimagining of the series. So for last year's Christmas cast, one of the games that I talked about was Assassin's Creed Origins, which is the game that came right before this, the 10th major installment in the series.
That was the Egypt one?
It was Egypt.
Yeah.
And I did not like it. It was not my favorite. I love Assassin's Creed, but they went a totally different direction. They're going more RPG rather than like action adventure storytelling. Yep. And not only that, the character, the setting, neither of them captured my attention or affection. Based on that game, I was kind of done with the series for now. I wasn't planning on playing Odyssey. Odyssey, this game that came out this year, is set in ancient Greece, 430 BC, something like that. I'm not too into that era either. However, it just so happened to be that my wife, she's an actor, she's in a play right now, or she just finished a play that was written during the time of this game in Greece. And you actually meet the playwright in the game.
What?
Yeah, in these games, you meet the historical figure, like various historical figures that lived during that time. And so that's super interesting. So she wanted to play it, downloaded it. I was so resistant at the beginning. I even did not want to like this game, like actively went in thinking I'm not going to like this. And I am completely blown away. Blown away.
So let me ask you this. So classic Assassin's Creed is pretty much out the door. That we're never seeing that again. When I say classic, I mean AC2.
Yeah. I think so. They might circle around at some point to do something more that direction. But if this is working, that is what they're doing, like what they're doing with all these games. Let's make it bigger. You know, let's make it like Skyrim really what they're saying. And that's what the people want. That's not what I want necessarily, but that's what the people want.
So what do you think this game did that hooked you, a classic fan, AC classic fan?
Very good question. Because it is very different from the original Assassin's Creed games. Very different. I think that the couple things that are really doing it for me is, one, the story. You guys know that I'm biggest proponent of good storytelling. And even the side quests in this game are reconnected back to the story. It's not like go fetch quests that have nothing to do with the main narrative. Everything is progressing the narrative no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then number two is the protagonist. It honestly has one of the best protagonists of the entire series. Honestly, I would put her right after right after Ezio, which is the most Assassin's Creed fans' like favorite, and mine as well, from Assassin's Creed 2.
Wow.
You can pick a guy or a girl. If you pick the guy, their brother and sister. If you pick the guy, you're doing it wrong. Cassandra is one of the best protagonists of all time. They also gave you like dialogue choices, which I hate, but it actually works and it's fun. I don't know. I hate myself. It's a totally different game, but I do love Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Okay. Nolan had a good question and I've got a good question as well.
Do you?
Mine comes in the...
Wait, let me decide. You don't say it's good.
It's good. Mine comes in the spirit of our little Christmas competition. I figured we'd do a little head-to-head here. Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Super Mario Odyssey?
That's easy for him.
They're both viably good games, but also completely different titles.
Completely good. No, not completely different titles. They share a word. Mean? It gives me an excuse to compare them, even though it's unfair.
Forget this
That's
guy.
That's completely subjective. Wait, objective? I don't know the difference between
So
are the
two our Christmas
subjective.
Opinions. You
Assassin's
pick.
Creed Assassin's Creed Odyssey for me by far. I've All played right. both. I love okay, hold on. I love Odyssey, but Odyssey doesn't hook me like Odyssey does. Odyssey is beautiful, but you've got to play Odyssey because it is one of the it is the most beautiful game I've ever played.
Okay, so
Odyssey
Switch,
is beautiful.
Play Mario.
Play both Odysseys.
I'm good for that. Why don't we pivot from a game that a lot of people agree are both worth playing to talking about a game that a lot of people agree is not worth playing. I got super interested in this game release because I'm 100% the kind of... The flavor of gaming nerd that likes to waste hours playing card games. Like, that's who I am.
I know you're also a build-up guy. Can you please say the title so they know what game we're talking
we'll
about?
We'll get there. Like,
get there?
People we'll get there. Stop following.
It's half our audience just quits the podcast because I preface too hard.
Oh my gosh.
There went the other
so,
half.
Okay, so... Everybody's now it's the test of whether we
you're
now
still we're doing this without
an audience. And I'm gonna kill you.
Okay, so I want to talk about Valve's new card game Artifact, and I want to talk about it in light of the fact there we go that I tend to like these kinds of games. I still play quite a
Hearthstone
good amount of Hearthstone.
Amount you played a lot.
Oh yeah,
sure.
I spent a number of years where online versions of the card game Dominion were like defined my free time. I
still play Magic the Gathering.
I surprisingly don't, but if I ever fell into that trap, I'd probably fall into it really really hard.
Oh, and no. So, still trade baseball cards.
Did you guys ever find a random baseball card as a kid and think you were rich? I did that all the time.
That was just me.
Yeah, I would always go in online and search my Nolan Ryans to see.
Yeah,
if
and it was
anything.
It was always Nolan Ryan, and then they were like worth like 23 cents. So Artifact dropped. People get hyped when Valve makes stuff. Artifact is based off of a franchise that's super popular because, sort of lore wise, it jumps out of Dota 2, which has a huge fan base and, like all of the pieces for what could and should have been a really, really popular game. They did some novel things mechanically with the game that people were real excited about in terms of kind of different lanes of play, sort of playing on that whole Dota 2 theme and just giving them a lot more sort of freedom in designing cards and those kinds of things. But then there was huge fallback because they designed this game very much with a true – like trading card game mentality in mind, and also chose to not make it free to play. And Wait. Those things combined made it a really, really, really expensive game to get into, and it turned people off like crazy.
So that's what it is. So it's not a bad game.
No.
It's just that the model, like it literally is, they were too hungry for money. They created a good product, Dude. But then they were too hungry
Basically.
For money.
Basically. I
so
mean,
they made it.
there's split opinions on the product. Like always, it's sort of, you know, people's preferences. Some people like it a lot. Some people don't.
It looks good.
Yeah,
it is. I'm pretty sure it's a really quality game.
They just made it like really. I've heard critics calling it like pay to win.
It's pay to win, but you also have to buy the game.
It's not even pay to win. It's pay to participate.
That's true.
Which is worse even than pay to like accelerate. You know, that can be frustrating enough in models like Hearthstone. Yep. And you know, there's arguments there in both ways. It creates exclusivity. It means that cards will over time like hold their value. That, you know, they do let you resell some of the cards, but to go, you have to pay up front in the first place to not even make it a free-to-play model, and then on top of that to make it difficult to play, especially in the most competitive modes, without continuing to pour money into the game. There's no way to just, you know, sort of let your time earn you the game. It turns people off in a digital format. It's like they tried to do true trading card game like Magic the Gathering and the rules of a real physical economy, but digitally, and it really just didn't work for people. So
do you think they'll fix it?
I don't know. I think they will. There was a lot of backlash. I think they've already fixed some of the most egregious pieces of it, is my understanding, but I kind of watched the hype right as all of that blowback was happening and just got kind of turned off by it. And so I haven't heard where they've gone from there, but I know it hurt their product like crazy because way hyped.
Do you think that it's too late to really like recapture the fan base they could have gotten?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They can still make it a successful game. I do.
Right.
But a huge release is so pivotal and it can be good. I mean, you know, you can have movies that have tiny releases and then win some awards or become cult classics, but you're still not going to like make the money you would have made otherwise. And so, yeah, it'll never be the game it could have been if they'd made those choices before. They may change it. It may mean that long term, the game sort of keeps some of its integrity better. But in general, people have a bad taste in their mouths. And I think it really hurt them choosing to take the approach they did.
I had to bring in an indie game that came out this year because, one, I love indie games and indie developers, but this one was huge and I think it's a pretty important game. So it's called Celeste. Many of you may have not heard of this game. Actually, now that I think about it, it was very popular, but it's still an indie game. It's not a AAA title, so you don't know the developers. But it's kind of interesting because the team of developers, I understand that there's three of them, like it's not a big team, they built the game and designed the game with speedrunning in mind. So AGDQ, right, is a big event, a marathon of speedrunning that we talk about on the show sometimes every year. There's two events every year. And the developers were at the event and they were on the mics when the dude was running the game and they were talking about different areas and how they designed it and why they did this and why they did that. And that like full circle, like just connection there, really gave me a lot of hope for future games and like crowdfunding on cool games and indie developers. But if it's basically a platformer, but
it's
not
one of those like painful, punishing platformers. That,
yeah, what's that genre called? Because like Super Meat Boy reminds me of it.
Yeah, it's a sadism.
Sadism? Masochism?
No, masochism.
No, because this one you're actually playing it. This is the kind of game, right? Doesn't it have a death counter? And you're like, yeah, if you can beat the game in like less than 400 deaths, congratulations, you're a superhero.
You're the like, one suffering through right. it. You're not deriving yeah. pleasure from watching yourself suffer.
But here's
Are you still stuck on...
I know. It's on theme for us lately.
But here's the thing. It's not just that type of game, because it is right. like it's a death counter, don't get hit platformer thing, but it has like some beautiful story that I think has to do with like mental illness or to some degree, or depression, really? I think maybe. And it's beautiful. It's pixel art. It's like pixelated graphics. But then like the world map is like 3D rendered, beautiful. Like you're climbing a mountain. That's the point of the game. In fact, that's the tagline of the game, Celeste, a game about climbing a mountain. And it just looks so good. I need to play it.
That's super interesting. I would never play it because I am not a sadomasochist, but yeah, I love the idea of blending. That's why indie is so good, you know, because they will do some of these things of like blending some genres, because most of your games that are like this have little to no story. That's not what it's about. It's about the gameplay.
Right.
And in this game, to include not only a story, but a story that is like deep.
Like a feels like, one, yeah.
Yeah, like that's... Like, I don't know much about this game, but some of the things that I've read is, like, some of the reviews are saying, yeah, so incredible gameplay, but I also care deeply about Madeline's struggle.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
like, empathize with her in ways that I wasn't expecting.
So good, dude.
There's all these kind of comments, and on top of that, I imagine, Nolan, the music, pretty amazing.
Yeah, I listen to the OST every once in a while at work. It's funny. I know all these things about the game. I admire it from a distance, but I've never played it. I need to get it for Switch.
I'd imagine you love it. I love just that indie developers have the freedom to do something like say, hey, we're going to make a game and we really want to cater it to a fairly small audience relative to like, we're just going to release something for quote unquote gamers. Yeah. And say, you know, this is a game that can work outside of it, but that is sort of optimized for and has that whole speedrunning element in mind. Mm-hmm. And yet not let that like redefine or take away from creating a good game on its own is mm-hmm. just cool. You don't hear about that kind of philosophy outside of, you know, hey, let's get three guys together and make a really cool game. And so it's neat to hear.
I know that Celeste was nominated for a lot of different awards, like at major award shows and even like indie award shows. And I know they were nominated for a lot. I don't know how much they won, but they were nominated for like Ultimate Game of the Year, Best Score of the Year, wow. like Best Indie Game of the Year, nominated for tons of things, and reasonably so. I know that just both fan and critic alike really regarded Celeste as a quality title.
Yeah.
Octopath Traveler is another 2018 title, came out July 13th for the Nintendo Switch. In fact, it was the first game that I purchased for my Switch.
Oh, good. That's a good one. That's a good choice.
Have you completed the game yet, Dustin?
Have not completed the game. I'll talk briefly about my experience with it, but just in case you are listening, you don't really know Octopath Traveler, because it is one that people will know about, but it's also one that could, like, it's a weird thing in that, like, I think it was a collaboration between Square Enix, very popular name, right? Mm-hmm. And Acquire, I think a much less popular name. It was published by Nintendo for the Switch, and it is a 16-bit Super Nintendo style character sprites and textures with an RPG turn-based battle system. So like straight up think your kind of old school JRPGs. It's got a real like retro game feel with that, but there are some updates obviously to the music and to maybe some of the backgrounds and animations. It looks really, really, really good. Really Nolan, good. I know you played the demo, right?
Yeah, I played the demo.
And Kenny, you haven't touched it?
Oh, no, I played part of the demo. I didn't get all the way through
it. Oh, yeah,
I
remember him doing that, yeah.
Interesting. So it looks good. It plays all right. Unfortunately for me, the characters and the... There's like... eight characters. There's a lot of different characters that you can play, and there's probably even more than that, and that you meet with the other characters. You can create different parties, but most of the characters and the writing for me was kind of shallow, and That sucks. Like, I think I'll play it more. It'll be probably like my portable when I'm like on the go. I can use my Switch in that way, and it's easy to come back to and play. But I just it's not capturing me. Like, I really want a good JRPG for my Switch to do.
Huh. Well, I kind of like hearing that, not for the game's sake, but because I was feeling a little bit guilty because I felt like this game should be right up my alley. You know, I'm with you in loving RPGs and obviously being very fond of, you know, a sort of Super Nintendo era look and feel to games. You know, big surprise coming from our podcast, but it didn't hook me at all. I felt like they kind of had all the outside look and shine without any sort of unique something or heart or
yeah.
You know, nothing caught me about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, and then for me, and it might be, I haven't played long enough, although I've probably invested, this isn't long with a RPG, right? But like 6 to 10 hours, somewhere in there, right? 6 to 10 hours. I know that's a broad thing, but there, to me, I haven't found like this overarching story. Like, it's these individual stories with the character arcs, but there's not like one major thing that's carrying me forward. And in a lot of my RPGs, it's your characters and this kind of main story that you're following. And yeah, something's missing there. I agree with you, Kenny. There's this great setup and picture and everything, and then there's just, I don't know, there's something that didn't connect.
I think I hear that it picks up more towards the end of each character's story, or, you know, whoever you choose at the beginning. I wouldn't have expected a lot of writing out of it. I mean, what JRPG has good writing?
I don't know.
It's all cheesy.
Yeah. Well, no. See, I'm not saying writing dialogue necessarily. I'm saying writing with story and plot, and that's kind of what I was leaning towards.
Yeah. I first of all, I think the game's beautiful, and this kind of goes back to the Mega Man thing where they took SNES era JRPGs, and this is the modern representation. Or if this is, I'm on board, and I hope either this becomes a series, or Acquire and Enix get back together on some more Switch titles, because I want to play this more.
I'll agree with being impressed with the look. It's a nice looking game. It's really pretty.
I think overall it did well. People enjoyed it. I know it shipped like over 1 million units globally. So that's,
yeah, they ran out of physical.
Yeah. Well, I think Japan had to apologize a couple times because they ran out of physical. Whoops. But hopefully they'll build on it, because I like the idea and I want some of that retro JRPG feel. This one didn't necessarily do it for me. I'll continue to play it and maybe it will eventually, but I do like the idea and where they're headed with it at least.
Yeah. So as we were talking about games that were worth mentioning, either because of our interest or their impact, I felt like it would be impossible to go through 2018 without dropping this next one, because it was wildly successful. Yeah, there's certainly some other really big titles this last year that we're not going to get a chance to talk a lot about, but I thought it would be almost heretical to not mention Red Dead Redemption 2. Because, holy cow, this game won all the awards.
It did.
Won all of the people's wallets. Won all of the people's time, and won for, I don't know, best Western that spends way too much time on really, really minute details until people are just blown away with how realistic the game feels.
This might be one of the most anticipated games ever. Yeah, people have been wanting Red Dead 2 for so long now.
It's no Half-Life 3.
Right.
You're right. But
it is. But Red Dead Redemption, the Red Dead series in general, but Red Dead Redemption did really well.
Yeah.
A lot of people. And it's been many years. I don't remember when Red Dead came out, but it's been
a
good amount of time. Yeah. Like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10,
at least
8.
At least.
And
a
so,
lot.
Yeah, this game and God of War were probably the two for 2018. 2017, I think you could go with Odyssey and
Breath of the Wild.
Those are kind of the two main hits. 2017, 2018, if there were two, it's probably Red Dead Redemption 2 and God of War. Maybe. Yeah. And maybe there's argument there. But yeah, like Kenny said, one best narrative, one best score, best audio design, best performance for the guy that did vocalize the main character. Yeah, just numerous Game of the Year awards. I haven't played it yet. I love Red Dead Redemption. It's an incredible game. Was that the game that I shouted out in our Thanksgiving episode when we talked about?
Yeah, because it was titles? Your first game with you and your wife.
Yeah, it was the first game we got to play together, and just an incredible story and world. And I'm so happy to hear that Red Dead 2 is following in the footsteps. And you want to know what else I'm excited and happy to announce? I don't know how real it is, but there was a leak this week of a little bit of footage of a PC version already.
Oh, dang. That's quick for Rockstar.
Yeah,
Rockstar is not known to do that. They like to make the money twice, which is evil and I hate them. But they did that for most of their titles. The unfortunate thing is Red Dead never came out for PC.
Nope.
But I really, it's either been completely confirmed that they're going to, like they've admitted it, or at least heavily speculated that Red Dead 2 will eventually end up on the PC.
It will be. It's required at this point in time.
I'd be more likely to sit down and do a complete playthrough of the game on PC, partly just my comfort level and where I do more of my gaming. But this game is big and detailed and long. I mean, that's what a lot of people love in their games, is crazy amounts of immersion. But, you were giving Octopath a hard time for 6 to 10 hours, you know, not being a lot of time to put into it. I have a sense that for a lot of people, at the pace they play, 6 to 10 hours is them just like finishing the initial setup or character creation of the game. You know, it's one of those.
Yeah. I wasn't complaining about length of time. I'm all down for long games, but it's about getting hooked within that amount of time. Even with Red Dead 2, if I'm not hooked in 6 to 10 hours, then something's wrong.
Oh yeah, something's way wrong. And I would imagine you certainly will be. I mean, 97% on Metacritic doesn't come out of nowhere.
Well, listen, they broke multiple records upon release. Like, it had the second biggest launch in history of entertainment.
Wait, holy crap.
Generating $725 million in sales from its opening weekend and shipping over 17 million copies in 2 weeks.
Well, that's wild. My goodness.
Yeah, I think they're set, but I think Grand Theft Auto 5 kind of helped them with that. Like, I mean, Rockstar has always kind of been consistently, like, they just are getting billion dollars richer with each release.
Yeah, they're set.
That's probably shallow.
Like, I agree with the Red Dead 2 thing. I think God of War is overrated.
Ooh. God of War was beloved by many this year.
Well, no, it wasn't just beloved. I heard left and right on gaming sites and from people around me at work that it's the greatest video game of all time. And I was like, if you're telling me that right now, I don't want to hear it about that. And then I looked into it and it's like great. It's a great game. It's not the best game of all time. And it's not like,
why though? Why are you against it? Just because so many people are for it?
Hey, Nolan, real quick, what's the best video game of all time?
That's too hard to answer. I don't know. I could give you my opinion, but I think the best video game of all time, a lot of people would agree with, the reason that I don't think that God of War is the best game of all time is because their reasons for it being the best game of all time are silly. It's seamless from cutscenes to playing the game. Okay. That's great. The story's great. Okay. I know a lot of games with great story.
I mean, none of us have played it, right?
No. I don't need to. It's overrated. I know something when it's overrated.
We can have
it's
some
overrated.
Opinions, though.
Wait. It could be overrated and still be an incredible title.
No.
Oh, man. So those were some of the main titles. I know there's other titles. Come into our Discord. Let us know what were some key 2018 releases for you, or what were some standouts for you that we may have missed. Obviously, we can't talk about them all. Those are some of the major ones we wanted to address. But there were a few. Really, 2018 was a crazy year for video games.
It was a crazy year for video games in both directions. Like big, awesome successes. Yeah. And then like weird, terrible flop failures too.
And unfortunately, in the news portion of things, like not just releases, but like some of the events and things that transpired, a lot of them were negative.
Y'all, this so year was whack. Let's not beat around the bush.
Yeah, let's start off with one of them. Nolan, what's yours?
Yeah, this year when gaming was whack, games and news. The first one that I want to talk about is good old Blizzard. You know, I love Blizzard. Kenny loves Blizzard. And usually they're okay. But the Diablo series is, well, it's been in decline. It's Diablo 2, huge title. Everyone loved it. They came out with Diablo 3 with this in-game auction house that ruined the economy, ruined the fun. They took it out. It got better. Played it for a while. But they've lost some of the magic. Anyways, Diablo 3 is old now. So fast forward to what event was this?
What was it? It was the BlizzCon 2018. Okay, BlizzCon.
BlizzCon. Big. That's where
all the main, the most hardcore fans are gathered.
The most hardcore Blizzard fans will attend, and the most hardcore Diablo fans will be there. So we have big Diablo news. You want to beat at BlizzCon, so they show up and they reveal the game. It's called Diablo Immortals, and it's a mobile game. It's a mobile and game.
Not only
it's
that,
a mobile game, not actually developed by them.
Yeah. Like outsourced, reskinned from a game over in Japan. It's just really bad. You immediately have a guy stand up. They do a live Q&A, which bad idea.
Bad, yeah.
And a guy gets up and asks if this is an out-of-season April Fool's joke. And that's the only applause that you hear the entire announcement, because when they announced it and said that it was mobile, all the fans either silent or boo. And they asked, you know, one of the questions that were asked is like, are there plans for a PC release of the game? And Blizzard's response, like, it just got worse and worse.
Well, they ended up saying, after so many questions and negativity from the player or the people in the on the mics, they were like, what, you guys don't have phones? That came out of his mouth, and instantly his regret filled his face.
PR.
I'm so pissed at them. How bad, dude, we haven't even got to the worst of this. What y'all are about to talk about is way worse to me. So, I mean, I'm done talking about that. It pisses me off.
My big news piece is the Bethesda catastrophe.
Come on, dude.
This is similar. I mean, it's in the same vein, right, as the Diablo Immortal announcement. But
it makes me mad.
May 2018, Bethesda's Twitch stream comes live, and all you see there is a Pip-Boy bobblehead standing in front of a screen saying, stand by. So
the hype
Fallout
is real.
Fans, hype, dude. Excited.
Yeah.
Anticipation ran high because we're being hinted there's going to be a new Fallout release.
And finally, we can flush Fallout 4 and move on with our lives. We were hype.
Right. And it had been almost 3 years, I think, since Fallout 4, because that was released 2015,
goodness,
I believe.
Right. That's so weird.
So there was a lot of speculation revolved around whether we would be getting a new game, what it would be like. This year is also Fallout 3's 10th year anniversary. So some people were just thinking maybe it was just going to be a Fallout 3 remake.
But
you get this announcement that it is going to be a standalone game called Fallout 76.
Okay, cool. That sounds nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So like we're all right, right?
Sure.
E3 2018 was just around the corner, and the human storm, human waste storm began. During the beta, during the E3, they talk about it being like a softcore survival game that's going to be played entirely online. So people are kind of diminishing interest. Open beta was going to be starting in October. During the beta, I'm just going to quickly go through these things and then we can react. But during beta, there was a game deleting bug where when you try to start the game by double clicking on the launcher, it deletes the entire game from that you just downloaded.
Nice.
And it's not a small deal. Game. Right, not a big deal. So we can fix that, right? When they finally released it in November, it was released to a rating averaging between 2.5 and 3 on Metacritic. Yeah, that's out of 100, I think. Oh. So, like, just absolutely awful. A few of the reasons was because there's a locked field of vision, FOV, that can cause literal health issues to players. a locked FPS on certain things that is kind of a big no-no in gaming. And really just an empty world with extremely low difficulty.
Okay, keep going.
A lot of frustration there immediately. Yep, and then a few days later, players found out that, like, you can not only break your game, but you can break the server that your game's on by doing different things, like launching three nukes at once, and it just crashed a server. And then some fans are dumb enough to spend $200 up front on a collector's edition.
Oh, yeah.
You get tons of different items. One is a high-quality canvas bag. Oh, sorry. That's what they were promised. But instead of a high-quality canvas bag, they got a junky nylon bag instead.
That was the piece I heard the most about.
Bethesda's response was generously giving 500 atoms in-game currency worth only $5.
I gagged just now. Hey, also, Bethesda has been nominated for Best Developer of 2018.
Is that not ridiculous?
Yay. Okay.
They probably nominated themselves.
At least they don't say, what, you guys don't wear backpacks?
I mean, that's pretty much the same thing. Okay, and then, guys, to top it all off, just a few days ago, at the beginning of December, they just accidentally leaked private gamer information, including their names, maybe their address, phone numbers. It's just getting
worse.
That's
so 2018. Like, you've got to have the data leak too. This year sucked, man.
Yeah,
Trump's also
country road taking home.
No, it's just Fallout 4. With some online multiplayer patch.
Bad online multiplayer.
Dude,
yeah, just,
what a bad idea. Good. Elder Scrolls 6 is 6 feet underground already. The coffin has been nailed shut. I'm so scared for single player.
No, they're going to do it.
Bethesda, dude. No.
They're going to do it.
It's done.
They're going to do it.
It's going to be online. It's going to be trash.
I'm done playing video games.
We should just play retro video games and start a retro video game podcast.
Exactly.
This year sucked.
Best idea. Hey, so in another kind of bummed people out piece of news that happened relatively recently, but just is another one of those, like, the state of gaming is wonky just in what developers are doing and what works and what doesn't. This is another Blizzard-related piece of news. They decided that their big answer to Dota 2 and League of Legends that they released a while back, Heroes of the Storm, wasn't performing well enough, I guess, to be worth the time and investment that they put into it. So they completely canceled all of the pro scene for the game, like basically quit supporting any kind of competitive play and swapped a bunch of the developers off the team and basically kind of stranded it as a product. And people that played this game and were into it were not pleased.
I can't think of many other times in gaming history where something like this has happened. They just straight up are like, it's a business decision. Like, I honestly can't blame them that much.
Honestly, I think part of the problem is that, like, not every one of these competitive games needs an esports, like, platform. Like, that's the big part of it. Like, it's not like that they're ever... maybe they're not going to, like, update or continue working on the game. I think that's a big part of it. But I know one of the, like, biggest parts is that they canceled some of their tournaments, their esports plans, like, and there's people invested in that now. Not just gamers and teams, but there's people that are the, like, speakerfasters. What are they called?
Shoutcasters.
And huge teams, right, that put on these things that's just no longer happening.
It's a bummer for sure.
Yeah, like, but I think it goes back to, like, in part, I don't know, just It's money grabs, like, not just money grabs, sorry. It's money. Money is the root of all evil. The love of it is. And these people are creating good content, but then doing the wrong things with it, going the wrong directions just because other people are doing it. I don't know. Not everything needs a competitive scene, but now they've screwed themselves.
This might be insensitive, but I don't think HOTS was on par with League and Dota. I just don't think it was an inferior game.
Or Overwatch, like some of these.
I was just keeping it in MOBAs, but yeah, or Overwatch. Like, well, Blizzard's clearly like, oh, we're focusing all attention on Overwatch.
Here's the good news. If they are, since they are shutting down Heroes of the Storm and kind of like the development on that and the forward progress, at least that will allow Blizzard other time on other projects like Diablo Immortal.
Shut up. Shut up. I am so just like sad at what has happened recently in the industry and that my data is everywhere.
Yeah. Everybody knows who Nolan is and
they know I got a haircut.
Yeah. And to protect your data, you probably got to buy a loot box. Like, welcome to gaming.
Or a backpack. Days. What? You guys don't have backpacks?
2018 is coming to a close, and we are thankful for some of the things that happen related to gaming. Dethankful for some of the things that happened in gaming, but we are completely one-sided, 100% positive and grateful for the things that have happened in the life of New Game Plus in the year 2018.
Oh, yeah. Guys, we killed it.
It's been a big year.
We're probably, kind of the strongest year yet for NGP. Just with an influx of people finding out about the show, our core family growing. Like, we've had a consistent, like, maybe 8 to 10 people that have been here, like, our day ones, right? But since then, it's really cool because this year, especially, there's been another dozen, two dozen that have been added to that are just regulars in our community.
You definitely made it sound like we gave birth to a child the way you said that, though.
The three of us have together, one.
Yeah, we went to the doctor and they were like, yeah, we can do that.
Sure, we'll get right on
that. It's a third each.
Like, we just have a group of, I mean, we primarily hang out in Discord. Some of it's through email, but like, there's a community of people that enjoy retro video games and just gaming in general that come together on a daily basis. And like, a lot of it's life together. Like, we know, I know some of this is weird for people that aren't on the inside, I guess, but like, it's more than just a podcast. It's a family now. I think 2018, it really became a family.
It really has been cool to say that. You say primarily in Discord, but we've even had opportunities to meet some of our viewers in real life and make some connections and, you know, make some new friends. And it's been neat. And the podcast itself has developed a lot over this year. Having Tom do dedicated editing for us has
just so nice.
Way lowered the burden on a week to week for us and has
and
you know helped
quality.
With quality. Absolutely. And he's just absolutely amazing. And tons of other things. Some of the stuff we've just announced recently with kind of some of our rebranding and some things that are going to come out early next year. It's just been a really good year.
And we're super excited about next year coming up. So we've been very focused, like laser focused, on a list of things and improvements that we want to share with all of you, not just our patrons, but anyone who listens to us. And so we're super stoked to like announce several different things. Like, I mean, first of all, you guys know already we've been hyping it up. We got shirts. We got merch on the way and they're sick.
NGP merch. You're going to be able to represent your favorite podcast. And so, look, that's the best way to proselytize. You walk around in NGP swag. People are like, what's that all about? And then immediately you're able to tell them about New Game Plus. It's a great word of mouth. And not only that, it looks super cool. And you'll have a lot more friends if you wear it.
Yeah. The graphics were made by Hookshot, one of our new friends that we were speaking of. And he's awesome. And the graphics are really sick.
Speaking of Hookshot and his amazing graphics, this is the first time we're kind of saying this.
I know,
but
I'm nervous.
Just a little teaser here. Hookshot has helped us formulate. We went through many different drafts. In 20, 19, we're going to share with you our once and for all new NGP logo.
Yeah.
So we've got a whole new image set that we've worked on that looks very classy, but still has that retro video game feel and is going to kind of finally be what we are known by, the image that we go with. And so we've got a whole new image set for logo, banner, color scheme, and all of those things. And we're super, super excited to share that
with
you.
So yeah, Dust, like, it's so classy. Like,
Dustin's sick. So excited about the rebranding that he said he's going to get our logo tattooed on his butt.
Left cheek or right
cheek? On our child's butt that the three of us created, actually.
It's really dope looking. I have been working on something.
The railroad.
All the livelong day, and I'm pretty proud of where it's come. And anyways, we have a new website coming, and it will be coming in January. And so I'm excited to share that because, one, it's been a learning experience for me, and two, I think it looks really cool, and I think being able to point everyone to, you know, we have a website now and it's fine, but being able to point everyone to like a main hub where you can find everything you need in GP and something we're really proud of is going to be a huge step for us. So, surprise.
The cool thing is that with Nolan and Kenny being code boys now, that Nolan's been working on a website for NGP and Kenny has been working on something else for NGP.
Yeah, Nolan's super excited, as if he's got almost a finished product. Sometime in 2019, we're going to get a refresh for you guys on how to submit games to the Retro Master List. That's kind of wonky and Discord-based right now, and it's not real smooth. It's not super smooth for us to take that list and manipulate it and do things with it, and it's just bad. From a design point, kind of all around. And so we're going to go back and fix up some new tools to make that a little bit easier for everybody. So be looking forward to that and a whole bunch of other stuff that we've got in store and that we're looking forward to for a new and even better year. And I mean, it'd be impossible to not be in the Christmas season and be looking ahead and not say thanks for listening to the podcast. And especially thanks to those of you who help these developments come around by supporting us on Patreon.
Yeah, we have a constant kind of like movement towards and commitment towards upping our quality, producing more content, better content, interacting with you guys on more of a regular basis. And in 2019, that's only going to increase. And all of that is in thanks to our patrons. Those of you that go above and beyond, and you don't just listen, but you kind of say, listen, I believe in what NGP is doing. Not only do they entertain me once a week, but just I want to support and back and be a part of what they're doing in a deeper level. We just can't express enough gratitude to all of you that support us from a $1 level up to a $25 a month level and anything that you've done throughout this time. We just want to express great gratitude towards our patrons.
Yes.
Especially to our producer level patrons. We've got more now than ever before.
It's crazy.
That's Alex, Zion, Dear Baby, and Gimberino. You guys are the best.
We love you very much.
Thank you for hanging out with us all throughout 2018, our friends that have been with us for a long time now, and those of you that we've welcomed in the year 2018. We hope that you stick around for 2019 and all the things that it has to offer. Join us next year as we play dozens of retro video games. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
This is Nolan.
And this is New Game Plus. Merry Christmas.